I'd like you to use your imagination and put two images in your mind. The first image, think of a dry, hot desert, and picture a tumbleweed that is being blown about by the wind in that dry, hot, desolate place. Second image, think of a bubbling spring that becomes a stream. It is cool, it is clear, you can see straight to the bottom. And right next to it is a strong tree. Its roots are sunk deep into that wet soil. And it's green and flourishing, and it bears fruit year after year. Got the two images in your mind? Do you know that God says that every day of our lives, we are on a path to become one or the other of those images? Those are our only two options. By the choices we make every day, we are either on the path to become a tumbleweed in the desert, or we're becoming strong trees that grow strong and flourish and get a lot of refuge under them. In the book of Jeremiah, it gives this image, and it says there's one word that separates these two paths. The word is mentioned three times in our text. It's the word trust. Who you trust, what your daily functional Savior and Lord is, will determine whether you're a tumbleweed in the desert or a strong oak tree. With that in your mind, I want you to listen very carefully to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 8. The Lord says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the desert. He will not see when prosperity comes. He will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its root by a stream, will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to year fruit. Now on this historic day in our church that is almost 100 years old, in a new facility, today we begin a new era, the next 100 years. And I have intentionally and deliberately chosen this text because I want to imprint into our mind to shape our future what God is calling us to be. Now in Jeremiah, it talks about a strong tree. In Isaiah, it goes a little bit further. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, it uses a beautiful term. It says, those who trust in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will become oaks of righteousness. And I would like us to claim that image as we enter into the next decade as a church. Now I want to look back first and look at the oaks of righteousness that God has raised up in our 97-year history to spur us on. And I've reviewed that 97-year history and have been very encouraged because I discovered three themes that run like a mighty stream through the history of this church family. And the reason this encourages me, if a church family sinks its roots into those three themes, those streams, they will become an oak of righteousness church. But the moment you abandon these three, you are on your way to be tumbleweeds in the desert. The first stream is the authority of scriptures. That the Bible is the inerrant, trustworthy word of God. It's run straight through our history. In the 1960s and 70s, all over this country, in major denominations and seminaries, people were beginning to abandon the trustworthiness of scripture. Vicious attacks were launched against its authority. Dr. Harold Lincell wrote a book called The Battle for the Bible. At the time, I was in Oregon going to seminary. I read that book, and it imprinted in my heart that as long as I'm in the ministry, I will not budge. I will stand on the authority of Scripture. Now, little did I know that there was a church back on the East Coast I had never heard of, whose interim pastor was Dr. Harold Lincell, who wrote the book that inspired me. And little did I know that one day I would become the pastor of this church and join the stream of saying the Bible is our authority. Second stream I've noticed is the centrality of the gospel. The gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, rose again, is at the right hand of the Father, is coming back as the only one who can save our souls and change our hearts. That has been central from day one. I went back and reviewed the history and sermons I read about from 1913, 1915, when the world was in darkness. Cherry Dell was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the root we sink into, and that's what changes people from the core. The third stream I noticed is global and local missions as a central priority. It encouraged me so much to learn that through our history, like a steady stream, at least 25% of our budget has always gone to missions. It's been a give-it-away church. The priority of advancing the gospel around the world. And that is what produces oaks of righteousness. Oaks are rooted deeply. And when the weather shifts and changes, they stand and they keep bearing fruit because they've sunk their roots down deep. And any church that sinks its roots into those three things will produce oaks of righteousness. But the moment they're abandoned, they began a path that will end up becoming a tumbleweed church, and instability will come. Now that leads us to the dream we had starting 13 years ago. Why would we want to expand our facilities? And since we've decided to be rooted in the authority of Scripture and the centrality of gospel and the priority of missions, something is a byproduct of that. You can't help it. And that is that you have a mindset, a perspective, that God goes before you. Even when you don't see the next step, God is going before you. And in our vision to maximize our capacity to impact the world, God's fingerprints have been all over this. He has gone before us. And I want to show you what that looks like from day one. When we began to put a task team together and consider expanding our facilities, word got out to our community. And we needed to go to the Arlington County Zoning Board to get approval for this expansion. Little did we know that right across the street, one of our neighbors I'd never met happened to be a zoning attorney. And he happened to appreciate this church. And on his own initiative, went to all of our neighbors and got them to sign saying, Cherry Dell can expand. And then he came over, introduced himself, and said, the neighbors approve of this. And then he went to the county board and stayed late, and it passed unanimously. Do you see what God had done? He had planted in the community before we even knew it just exactly who we would need to get us through the bureaucracy and get approval for it. We began to raise funds for the Imagine campaign. And our dream was to set the bar high, to not break ground until we had well over 50% of what we would need in hand. And people began to give generously by the hundreds. And I've collected stories of these people. I just have time to tell you a couple. One is a senior saint who's now in heaven, who caught the vision, who set an appointment and hobbled up to my office and gave a large check. And then she raised her hands, this oak of righteousness, and she prayed a prayer of blessing over me and this church. I want to be a part of this when I'm in heaven. And she is. I think of young people who took their pennies and began to save their allowance to give sacrificially and be a part of it. I think of a lady on her deathbed who called me there and wrote a check. I want to be a part of advancing the gospel. And many, many others who made such a difference. God went before us when we came to a major test of faith. We went to bid for our original design. We thought it would come in on budget. We prayed it would. It came back $4 million over budget. We were dead in the water. Lord, what do we do? You've led us this far. God always goes before you. Sitting on the front row, Mark Malloy and his wife joined our church. He sent me a long email, told me his qualifications as an architect. He said, I'm a new member and I'd like to redesign this for you. No cost. I want it to be my ministry. You're sitting in the design right now. And after he did that, they moved away. It was just like God dropped them in, used them, took them away so they could bless us. People would say to me, many other pastors, you don't have any idea what you're entering into, brother. Because we had to go into the gym for 2 years to meet temporarily and all kind of predictions. Your attendance is going to drop. The giving's going away. Oh, you have no, your hair will turn gray. Well, that came true. But, and during that time, God's gone before us. We've grown. Many have come to Christ. We've added new members. We've sent missionaries, and we've added to our staff wonderful people. Ed Grudier, our missions pastor. Herb Owen, our children and family pastor. And starting this week, Matt Grudier. Raise your hand, Matt. He's our young adult pastor. Starts this week. God's gone before us. Even the selection by God of the construction workers who would be a part of building this place. God brought new people into our church, Corey Demas and his wife, Carlos and Corey Demas, and they said, you know, we ought to be having lunches for those workers. We ought to be blessing them and sharing the gospel. We did that over and over again in great receptivity to the gospel. And even the timing, we changed the time of when we were going to move in here over and over. And I can just see God in heaven saying, I got this covered. You're moving in on Easter Sunday. I've got it all arranged. And we did. And then for today, that parking lot got paved. So here on Dedication Sunday, you can enjoy it. Oaks of righteousness sink their roots down deep into the authority of Scripture, the centrality of gospel, the giving it away mentality, and they can't help but have an attitude, if that's where they're rooted, that God goes before us. Now, my wife gave me a very special gift during all of this process. One Sunday, a couple of Sundays, we had a signing of the floor ceremony. How many of you signed the floor? Before the carpets went down, before this went down, come sign your name, put a scripture promise. And my wife just quietly came up knowing I would stand right here. And look what she wrote. And she wrote that to me knowing I'd stand over this place every day. And do you know what that's a reminder of? You'd be an oak of righteousness. Sink your roots down in the right place. Don't be a tumbleweed, pastor. Be an oak of righteousness, pastor. Now, I want us to embrace this. That's what's brought us this far. And in the future, if we don't embrace it, we're on tumbleweed land. But if we do, you're going to see an oak tree grow, and its branches will expand. And under its shade, people in this community and all over the world are going to be impacted by the gospel of Christ, which means we need to look ahead. And when we look ahead, there's only one place to look. The oak of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given us our marching orders. It's his church. He bought it with his blood. And here's what he says must be central. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments literally hang the whole law and the prophets. And Jesus added to that, don't keep this love to yourself. You're to be a give-it-away people. I want you to go all over the globe to all peoples, and I want you to be intentional about making disciples. Now, do you notice the key word in our vision statement? It's love. It's about loving God and loving people. Now, let's be honest. That kind of sounds like Mission Impossible. I mean, it sounds kind of arrogant to say, we're going to be the kind of people that love God with all of our being and love others and transform the world. That's utterly impossible unless we root ourselves in Jesus Christ, who said it's not impossible. Now, I've discovered something. You can grow a squash in the summer. It takes years to grow an oak tree. And God wants to build oak trees. And now we're shifting, folks, to the heart of the matter. Up to this point, we've given descriptions of oak trees. Oaks of righteousness are rooted in the authority of the Bible, the centrality of the gospel, the give it away of missions, and the confidence God is going before us. But how does that big picture become practical? How do we take those and put them into the pieces of our daily life? We follow the pattern Jesus followed. Know, grow, and go. It shapes everything we do. Now you might say, okay, that's still a little big picture for me. What does that look like in everyday life? And here's what it looks like. If we want to be oaks of righteousness, this must mark us. The first one's the hardest. Begin a ruthless diagnosis of your heart every day of your life. You see, Jeremiah is not done. He added verses 9 and 10. Listen to what he said. The heart is more deceitful than all else. It's desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. You see, if the whole issue is trust, and I've got a sick heart, and I was born with it, and it's an idolatrous heart, and I'll choose cheap God substitutes, if I'm not with the gospel relentlessly checking my heart every day, I'm going to be a weed man, not an oak of righteousness. Before I went off to seminary, my dad took me to dinner. I'll never forget this. He looked me in the eye, and he said, "Son, don't you forget this." He used his finger. He said, "God does not want a seminary degree from you. He wants you." Now, at the time, I didn't quite get what it meant. It sounded profound. But years later, the light came on. And I understand what he meant. My dad could see and discern in my heart some motives that were mixed, rooted in pride and insecurity. And time after time, that little statement has come back and a dagger right to my heart. We have to ruthlessly examine our hearts every day and come back, sink our roots deep. I was stunned the first time I read the words of Simone Weil. It doesn't look like Weil, but that's how you say her name. Simone was a French Jew, a writer, a social activist, who in 1939, struggling with a migraine headache, was reading George Herbert's poem called Love About Christ. And she was radically converted to Christ. And here's how she summarized the message of the Bible, right on target. Would you read that out loud? Go ahead. That's it. What she is saying cuts right to the quick. It gets past all of our wanting to get out of being examined to just have it external, and says, check your heart every day. What is your functional Savior and Lord? Where do you go to get your identity and your hope? And listen to this. If it's not Jesus Christ in reality every day, listen, you were on the path to becoming a tumbleweed. But if it's Christ and you're intentional about it every day and you daily repent and go to Him, mark it down, you're going to be an oak. He will make you that. But we must embrace this as a core value. There's a second thing. You have to embrace daily and long-term faithfulness, perseverance. This is not just a one-time emotional stir. This is a long obedience in the same direction, year after year, day after day. And endurance is a quality that isn't valued very much among Christians anymore. I'll tell you what we do value. Joy. Oh, I like, give me the joy. James gives us a wake-up call. James connects joy with endurance. And his joy is a deep-seated root of oak of righteousness kind of joy. He says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. Do you see the connection? You want deep-seated joy? Persevere, endure, keep trusting, be an oak of righteousness. When I first came to Cherrydale, I met an oak of righteousness. I've met hundreds, but there's one that's like a branding iron to me. His name is Bob Kelso. He's been teaching at Cherrydale for 27 years. And he has a favorite phrase, oak of righteousness. And he sent recently a letter to his two son-in-laws challenging them, be oaks of righteousness. Now, think about it. This is a father-in-law writing to son-in-laws. That's a little daring to do that, but they responded eagerly. You know why? Because they've watched him year after year, time after time, faithfully sinking his roots down deep. He's an oak. I've seen it. I've seen his faithfulness at work through the years. I've seen him with his wife form the marriage mentor ministry. I've seen him go through family upheavals, and I watched it when his wife was taken home to heaven, and he stays faithful. And the reason his son-in-laws responded is because they know his roots are down deep. A long endurance in the same direction. Now, thinking of Bob Kelso also reminds me of something. This path of endurance can get grueling and grinding, but there's something we can't forget. It's also extremely refreshing and encouraging. Because if we sit our roots in the right place, there are three gifts God gives us. We need to open these gifts every day of our lives. This must be a habit. And if these are our habits, we'll become oak trees. Habit number one is go to the Word of God. The theme of the Word of God is Christ. When you know Christ, you learn who you are in Him. This gives you a perspective you'll get nowhere else, constantly, day in and day out. In our small group, which has become closer and closer, we've all reached the stage in life where our lives haven't turned out the way we thought they would. And last Tuesday night, we went through the seven passages in the New Testament where it says, don't lose heart. And we walked away so encouraged, going back to the roots, looking at Christ, persevering. That's the gift. Sink your roots down there. Second one is strength. We don't do this in our own energy. And I want to tell you, God has given us a supernatural power. The same power that brought Jesus out of the grave is inside of us, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to live out our new identity in Christ. I see so many people experiencing this. One of those is a man named Scott. And Scott came to Christ 8 years ago. And I literally see the Holy Spirit opening his eyes. He was saying to me recently, you know, I realized the old Scott is dead. He's gone. There's a new man. It's changing my marriage. It's changing the way I parent. It's changing the way I do business. He said, I used to think, you know, getting into the book was kind of an option. Now I get it. This is absolutely essential. Now, folks, that's the Spirit of God opening his eyes to see that. Third gift is right around you. It's God's people. They constantly encourage you, constantly inspire you. Go back and keep walking. Now, yesterday morning, I conducted a funeral for an oak that fell at Cherrydale. 61 years in the fellowship. Adele Thompson. 89 years old. She'd been in this church as long as I've been on the planet. And at her service, people stood up one after the other talking about inspiration from this lady behind the scenes with the gifts of help who just kept sinking her roots down and kept blessing people. And everybody went away inspired. I want to be like that. That's what we're talking about. Now, we want to embrace this. You can grow a squash in the summer, but it takes a lifetime to grow an oak tree. And I want you to take this image with me today and carry it into the future. Today, we put a line in the sand. God, I'm stepping over. Sign me up. No more weed life for me. I want to be an oak of righteousness. Today, I'm going to put my roots down deep. I've decided in advance. It's the Word of God. It's the gospel. I give my life away. You go before me, and my life is yours. Now, if we'll embrace that, I'll tell you what's needed. Some messengers. So I want everybody in this room that is 20 years of age or younger to raise your hand. Come on. Now, I want you to stand up. Come on. Do it. Look at them, folks. Now listen. All, come on, young people. Today I'm commissioning you. 50 years from now, I'll be in heaven. Most of us around you will be. You hopefully will still be around. So here's your charge. 50 years from now, check on this church. Send them an email. Come visit them. Come talk to the leadership. And you ask them, are you still an oak of righteousness, church? Where are your roots? Will you do that? You're commissioned. Now the rest, you may be seated. The rest of you, I want to ask you today, will you join me in saying today, I embrace this. Lord, I get it. My life is not here to be a tumbleweed in the desert. You designed me to be an oak tree. And sign me up. Now that's what this church is about. Today, some of you, maybe you're wandering in the desert and you'd like to become an oak tree. First step, you have to acknowledge you got a sin problem. You need a Savior. You invite Jesus to come in. And then you get on the path. And you stay on it. And you stay on it. And if we do that, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Oak trees are going to raise up in this community. This will become a great oak tree, and under its branches, there'll be refuge and healing, and it'll stretch all over the world. And in eternity, we'll give God the glory for what He did through us. Would you pray with me? Lord, starting with me, I pray that You would help me to day in and day out face this image that my choices and who I trust will make me a tumbleweed in the desert or an oak tree that's rooted and stable. And we thank You for the oak of righteousness, Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again, who pursues us and woos us so that we can become all You've called us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.